This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by two elite physician leaders. We've got Dr. Jonah Feldman, who's the Chief Transformational Officer at NYU Langone. We also have with us Dr. Paul Testa, who's the Chief Medical Information Officer. We're going to talk a little bit about them and their careers, and then we're going to talk about specifically an article they've worked on and some thoughts they have around sort of health IT and physicians and sort of the love-hate relationship and some of the thoughts they have on improving that. So, Dr. Feldman, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Dr. Jonah Feldman. I'm a physician informaticist, and I work as medical director for clinical informatics at NYU Langone Health. And specifically, I lead our physician informatics team at our NYU Winthrop campus. An informaticist, I'm one of 2,000 board-certified informaticists in the country. Physician informaticists were cross-trained in health systems, so we understand everything about a health system from quality to, you know, just how patients get around. Clinical practice, so my clinical practice is as a general internist. I do inpatient and outpatient care as well as urgent care and information sciences. So my background is that before medical school, I actually in college was a math major and did some work in biomathematics. And also, actually, you'll find that a lot of physician informaticists, Paul as well, hopefully we'll get into his background, a really interesting background. So after college and before medical school, I actually went to rabbinical school. I'm an ordained rabbi. And what we'll talk about today is that, you know, in health IT, there really is a strong relational component, a strong ethical component to the work that we do.
Well, fantastic. You'll be one of the first discussions on our podcast that brings into the scope that Talmud as well as math and physician, being a physician. So we'll look forward to having the discussion. Fantastic. And Dr. Testa, match that. So can you give us an introduction of yourself?
I appreciate the challenge. I'm not going to meet it, but thank you, Scott, and thank you for having us. My name is Paul Testa. I'm the Chief Medical Information Officer at NYU Langone Health. I think originally an emergency medicine attending, and that's what sort of got me exposed to clinical informatics. I did my training here at Bellevue, and I'm a born and bred New Yorker, so it's nice to come home. Before my clinical practice, I was a healthcare attorney up in Boston, and somewhere in the middle in there, I got a master's in public health and public health law, so bring a little bit of commitment issues to both sides of the fence.
Well, fascinating, and we're so thrilled to have both of you on today, and thank you for joining us. Before we get into sort of this discussion of love and respect in health IT and physicians, Paul, why don't you tell us just for a moment, what does a CMIO do today? It's sort of a newer, evolving title. You know, 10 years ago, there really wasn't one. Now there's lots more than there were, but still an evolving thing, a CMIO. Talk to us for a moment about that, and then, Jonah, I'm going to ask you the same question, Dr. Feldman, about a Chief Transformation Officer. Paul?
Sure. I think different institutions look at their Chief Medical Information Officer in different ways. We feel the needs of the institution. I had the privilege of being able to sit between our health IT enterprise and the clinical mission. The best way to, I think, describe it is who I report to. I dual report to the Chief Informatics Officer, Chief Information Officer, and the Chief Medical Officer, Chief Medical Officer of the hospitals. So it's Owen said that it's easier to teach a little bit of technology to a clinician than a lot of medicine to a technologist. And I like to live in the space of maybe translating one world to the other. So how do we change clinical practice using digital health, and how do we inform the implementation of technologies looking at the clinical world?
Dr. Testa, take me back for one second. Which is easier to teach, technology to a physician or medicine to a technologist?
I think everybody's got an appetite to learn, but from my perspective, it's been, I think, easier for me to learn just enough technology to have facial validity with our real hardcore IT guys that always teaching me, which allows me to then translate to docs and to nurses and to technologists a little bit more of the digital health aspect. So I think it's probably easier to teach a little bit of technology to physicians than a lot of medicine to our technology folks.
Fantastic. And you see so many of the great CEOs in the country aren't necessarily the most technology-heavy people today. They're people that can navigate the whole thing. So it's a fascinating sort of perspective. And Dr. Feldman, Dr. Testa made this transformation from ultimately a lawyer to a physician to an ER physician to now CMIO plus practicing attending emergency physician. You've made this transition from math to rabbinical school to being a physician to chief transformational officer. But let me ask you the question of CTO. What does a chief transformation officer do? What's the core of the role today?
Well, I think in a lot of industries, when we talk about transformation, we're talking about digital transformation, and it's the same in healthcare as well. I work hand in hand with Dr. Testa. I work for Dr. Testa, and very much everything that he said, you know, is true from my position as well, you know, but locally at NYU Winthrop. Something else, though, that I would add is that, you know, the word transformation also is used to represent change, and I think that for physicians, you know, who are very, you know, purpose-driven people, you know, they really feel strongly about what they're doing. It's their calling in life. And we live in a time where, you know, this digital transformation is also asking them to change and, you know, supporting them. You know, what is that like, that growth? You know, how can we help facilitate that? I think that's also a big part of, you know, the transformation work that we do.
Over the last several years, there's been so much discussion of the EHR and the digital transformation as being very challenging on physicians. And it goes to something that you both sort of said about transformation, something that Dr. Tess said about learning new things. You know, it's been thought of as EHR. The EHR is being one of the causes of increased burnout, getting away the productivity, getting in the way of physician-patient relationships. And the two of you have written a blog post, and a two-part blog post, about this concept of love and respect for your EHR. And one of the starting points on it is a provocative question, you know, does your EHR respect you? Do you love your EHR? And it would be hard to find too many physicians at least a few years ago that thought of their EHRs respecting them. And it might be hard to find too many physicians that said they love their EHR, but there was always some that did, that were just way out in front and loved it and loved the way to work. And all of us now know you need EHR. There's no going back in our health system. But Dr. Testa or Dr. Feldman, why don't you take the lead in just discussing sort of the blog post and the concept of love and respect for the EHR and physicians.
I think that, you know, the fact that you said that was a provocative, here you have an inanimate object, the EHR, and, you know, that it's a provocative question. Does the EHR respect you? Does the EHR love you? If I asked, does your front yard respect you? Does your front yard love you? It wouldn't be a provocative question. You say it doesn't make sense. You know, but the fact that this is a provocative question really shows that there's this strong emotional reaction, strong emotional, you know, connection currently between, you know, physicians and the EHR. And kind of what we tried to do in this blog post is unpack that. Why is that true? But also talk about, you know, what we're doing at NYU Langone Health. You know, and the first blog post really focusing on respect. What do we do at NYU Langone Health to ensure that, to the best of our abilities, that when physicians use the EHR, they feel respected?
And does Cerner or Epic love you more? No, I'm just kidding. And I think nobody has to answer that question. But Dr. Testa, let me ask you the follow-up question to this. I mean, originally, some of the EHRs were sold to systems, and systems had their physicians then work with the EHRs, and you sort of had this top-down mentality in the original implementation of EHRs, and then there's been this evolution the last few years. But talk to us a little bit about what's working and not working with physicians in the electronic health record and digital transformation and so on. What's sort of going right today? What could be done to get it better? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think you nailed it on the head, Scott. It's not a top-down approach, and that's not going to work now. And what works for us and what we've had, I dare to say I've almost received fan mail from some clinicians about is when we go to the front line and we go to the different clinical services and we keep listening. Silence is not always a good thing. So when a particular clinical service, when OBGYN, when emergency medicine, when orthopedics aren't raising problems or challenges that they're experiencing with the system, that's not a good sign. That might be the sign that it's time to get deeper involved with them and find out what isn't, what needs aren't being met. Where aren't they feeling respected in the system? Where do they feel like we're asking them to do things they shouldn't or needn't do themselves? The magic, I think, remains that we do, as Jonah quite, I think, eloquently wrote about, is we have to treat our clinicians with respect, which foremost means we have to recognize their importance in the system. This is not a top-down handing somebody an order set. This is not handing somebody a quote-unquote workflow. This is how we take care of patients today. And to do that, we have to sort of engage everybody constantly across the system. And we're almost 4,000 physicians and LIPs at NYU Langone. And that means there's a lot of outreach, but that also means there's a lot of opportunity to hear better ways to do things.
And I'll take the EHR companies aside, because the EHR companies from the Cerners, the Epics, the Allscripts, the Athenas have gotten better at this over the last several years than they were 10, 15 years ago. And some of the smaller ones have gotten much better at it. But in terms of the technology people at systems, there's this huge divide in my experience of technology people that love the providers and are delighted to talk to, as you said, the orthopedic surgeons, the OB-GYNs, the internists, the ER physicians, whatever specialty it might be. And then there's some technology people that just really don't either intimidated or hate or don't like the physicians. And maybe you could comment on that. That seems like a prescription for failure in this love and respect relationship.
I can't agree more that that's a setup to fail. And the opportunity, I haven't met many IT folks who hate docs. I've met them who fear them. I've met them who are fearful of their lack of understanding of the clinical world. And that's where physicians like Jonah, like myself, like many docs across the country and nurses have the opportunity to sort of step up and become citizens of the IT world and translate the clinical practice into digital. We're not, the EHR didn't invent physician burnout or clinician burnout. And candidly, the EHR is not going to solve burnout either. But there is no way to address the tasks, and there's no way to address a feeling of burnout without improving the way we deliver digital tools to our docs.
And Dr. Feldman and Dr. S, I couldn't agree with you more. It's sometimes that the technology people, it's not that they don't like the physicians, they don't like whoever they're working with. They like the technology a great deal. They sometimes don't have the appetite for dealing with the hard work that comes with dealing in the front lines, as you talk about. Actually, you're not hearing anything is not necessarily a good thing. It means people aren't talking to them. Maybe they're not using tools fully or even trying to, or they're unhappy with them. But this being on the front lines is so important. Dr. Feldman, some of your advice for how systems can do this better to further improve this digital transformation and the relationship between these tools and the physicians and providers and everybody that works with them.
Yeah, I want to just first echo something that, Dr. Testa just said that I think is absolutely true. This idea of the role of physician informaticists being citizens of both worlds, being able to be a citizen in the IT world, but also, reaching out to the clinicians and for them to, feel like a colleague is explaining things to them. It really goes a long way in terms of, that feeling of respect. In terms of the IT system itself, I think something that, we do very well at NYU Langone is that we have a governance process which really, really strictly makes sure that when physicians are practicing, they're not getting interrupted. You know, and that's something that we hear all over and over again that really relates to this idea of respect. And you know, when you're doing something you love, you're doing something that's important. To get interrupted in the middle of doing that for something, you know, that doesn't make sense, you know, really it would be it cause a feeling of lack of respect for the clinicians. And we make sure that all of the clinical decision support initiatives that we implement, we have this, you know, consistent theme not to interrupt care.
And how important along these lines is, if you two are going to be, as an example, sort of citizens between both worlds, how important is it that citizen be an accessible person and not a top-down, overtly alpha personality, or can it work with that?
I couldn't agree more. If, you know, my dad used to practice at NYU Langone, and he used to get referred to as the mayor. When you'd see him walk through the halls, everybody would say hello to him. If I can do the same, all the better. If the resident knows to reach out to me as much as the chairman of a department, then I'm doing my job properly.
Right, and where people feel like they can actually talk to you and you're not going to demand back to them.
And it's not a no. Sometimes some things aren't possible, but there's always got to be an and in there to say, but you're saying that for a reason, so let's figure out how to solve the problem. And I can't do that alone. I need you to do it with me.
And so as a chief transformation officer, as a chief medical information officer, I mean, what an amazing array of skills that you must have. And on top of all of it, you've got to have, or maybe as important as anything, and Dr. Feldman, you can comment on this, is really good communication skills or approachable skills. Because at the end of the day, if you do this sort of in a vacuum without interacting with everybody, you can't get really far, can you?
Absolutely. And I think something that, you know, our teams really, you know, have a great background in and do really well is a lot of people on our teams have a background in education and medical education. And, you know, when you talk about that, you know, avoiding the top down, you know, being with medical students, being with residents, being with people that are just at the beginning of their careers, they have some of the greatest ideas. You know, they're almost unbiased by, you know, what has historically been going on in the system. And, you know, I think, you know, communication, exactly as you're describing, you know, not being top down, being accessible, you know, and Paul really does a great job of that, you know, and I love his stories about his father. All of that is so, so important.
Well, fantastic. And so let me ask you a question. NYU, magnificent health system, one of the top health systems in the country. Does everybody have to be as multidisciplinary as the two of you to succeed at NYU, and is that why it's so great?
I think to succeed in healthcare today, people need to be committed to being part of a team. They need to be committed to understanding that this is their share of the pie in helping take care of a patient. And we're not going to be able to do it alone. And I think, in a large extent, that's why things like system-wide, enterprise-wide, EHRs, and clinical systems bring us together. We take care of patients better because of this. We value quality, we value safety above all else, and we facilitate those things by using the EHR properly with respect for our clinicians. That's not sort of imposed, but rather personalized and autonomous in the way the clinicians get to work. That's not drudgery, but surprise and delight. We need to make sure people want to engage in the technology.
You're truly, like they say in the book, creating raving fans, ultimately.
Hopefully. That's what we're aiming for.
Right. And moving in that direction. And clearly, I mean, as the EHRs, as physicians over the last decade have gotten on board with that, have learned to use them, have learned the kinks, the positives, the negatives, it's a lot better than it was 5 or 10 years ago. And this whole next level of, can we get to where it's just table stakes, basics, and it's easier right. And easier to work with so we can do better and better things, seems to be the goal as to where we go that next level. You needed this in place to sort of move to that next level. And part of the role of CMIO as CTO, Chief Transformation Officer, is to keep on smoothing it out so we can make great improvements. Dr. Feldman, is that a fair assessment?
And definitely. And I think, you know, we have made so much strides. And the things that, you know, we can do now in our health system, you know, people couldn't have imagined, you know, 5-10 years ago. Virtual visits, you know, through our virtual urgent care. My patients can send me pictures of their rash through their MyChart application. You know, I can ask clinical questions about the panel of patients that I take care of, how many patients that I have that have high blood pressure are not currently controlled, and, you know, in 30 seconds get an answer to that type of question myself. So, you know, we've really, really made so many strides, and so much more is coming.
No, and that's fantastic, and it really is amazing difference from several years ago, and as Dr. Testa said, you know, hopefully less and less the cause of burnout. There's so many different things that cause burnout, but you don't need the digital and the EHR to be one of those. So less and less, more and more an enabler, an accelerant, a helper versus something that's in the way of practice. So I can't thank the two of you enough, Dr. Feldman and Dr. Testa, for joining us today. Fascinating perspectives to hear from physicians on the front line of technology, this interplay of the worlds between the two of them. And we so greatly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. Thank you.
And thank you, sir.
Thanks, Scott.